Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is, it's still Bob. This is part 35 of On the Witness Stand, Serious Questions for the Watchtower Cult. Now I'm looking at the table of contents of my book, and by the way, this book is available to you by just clicking on store right there on the website, and you'll see how you can purchase one all for yourself on the witness stand. In the table of contents, you'll notice I have a whole series of things that are false. We've got false men. So I gave you a history of the watchtower already of false men. False interpretations. And that's the section we just finished, a long, long section of alphabetically arranged topics about different doctrines and teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now we're going on to a false premise. A false premise, not promise, but a premise. The question is, what is the name of the Lord? It's not so easy, you know. We want to look through the scriptures to find God's will in this matter. Many cults, you probably know, will make a big deal over the exact name you're supposed to use for the Lord. And if you don't use that name, you can't be a part of their group. So what is the name of the Lord? Genesis 4:26, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And what was that name? The problem here is that the Jewish fear of pronouncing the name that is spelled in the Hebrew, well, the English translation of the Hebrew, YHWH, no vowels in the original. You can say Yahweh there, or Jehovah, or other names can be taken out of those four letters. But the fear of pronouncing that name, let's call it Yahweh, caused them, and now us, to change the original Hebrew, YHWH, Yahweh, to simply the Lord. Once you're looking through your Old Testament, you'll see most of the time it talks about the Lord, and it's in capital letters, the Lord, capital letters. And that's your signal that they are translating YHWH. They should be saying Yahweh or Jehovah. But because of that fear of saying that name, it's been changed to the Lord. Well, that's maybe an oversimplification, but it'll have to suffice for us right now. The fact is, those Genesis 4:26 people that I just read about, they called upon the name of Yahweh. No question about that. That was the name. The Lord sounds like a generic term, you know. He is our Lord, but is that his name? Look it up yourself in Strong's Concordance. Almost every place you see the Lord in Genesis, it should be translated with a form of the Yahweh word that simply means, I am. And so, no mystery about the name, right? But wait, what do we do with Exodus 6:3 and surrounding, where Moses is being introduced to the God of Israel by the term, you guessed it, YHWH, Yahweh, I am. The implication here is that this is a brand new revelation and that no one ever used the name Yahweh before. Read it for yourself. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he says, as God Almighty. But by my name, Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. Genesis 13:4. Look at it. It says in the original that Abraham called upon the name of Yahweh. Yeah, it says that, Jehovah. Genesis 26:25 says the very same thing about Isaac, Jehovah. Remember Jacob's dream and ladder? When he woke up, he exclaimed, truly, Jehovah, Yahweh, is in this place. In your Bible, it will say the Lord. But as I've explained, that's been changed because of that fear of using that word. So we've got to understand Exodus 6:3 just a little differently. God is not saying they did not know the name Jehovah. He's saying, I did not make myself known by that name. They called on my name because they knew the word, the letters, but I had never introduced myself formally to them in that way. So how did Yahweh introduce himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Well, as above, as God Almighty. At age 99, Abraham received that introduction. Genesis 17:1, I am God Almighty. Walk before me, blameless. Now, when Abraham's son, Isaac, was sending away his own son, Jacob, he blessed him with the same name. May God Almighty bless you. And then much later, Jacob got a first-hand introduction of his own. The city was Bethel, the very place where he had said that Yahweh is in this place. And he was. But Yahweh was not ready to introduce himself in that way formally. It was to be God Almighty until Moses. Question, what is the name of the Lord? Genesis 35:11, God said to Jacob, Israel, I am God Almighty. With this same name, he blesses his own sons as they return to their newly discovered brother Joseph. May God Almighty, he says, grant you compassion. He'll use this name until his passing at the end of Genesis. From Genesis 11 to 50, end of Genesis, the established, revealed name of God is El Shaddai, God Almighty. Same is true for the book of Job, which took place in the days of the patriarchs. Then that name all but disappears from the Old Testament. God Almighty. Yet the underlying fact of Genesis and Job too is that from Genesis to Malachi, the God of creation and of the Jews is Jehovah. The formal introduction to this name, as we've seen, takes place where when Moses comes on the scene and when the God of the Hebrews is about to make his power known on an international basis. Pharaoh must know that God is the self-existent eternal one, the I Am, Jehovah. And so Moses, let him know the full truth about me. I'll back you up with demonstrations of same. By the giving of the Ten Commandments, it becomes clear that this business of the name is serious. A full commandment is given over to keeping that name sacred. Have you ever thought about that? It would appear that Jehovah is the settled upon name that's being referenced. And without exception, so it would seem, that's the name that becomes truly the name of God. It's a name so holy, as I said, to the Jews that they finally refused even to say it. And in keeping with this reservation, as I've already explained, the Old Testaments of most Bibles simply use the word Lord in place of Jehovah, often in capital letters. What about the New Testament? Now, to cross over from Malachi to Matthew is not yet to see a serious change in the honor of that name. For the old covenant is in place until the death of Jesus. But a new name does appear before that death. More than one, perhaps. Matthew 1:21-23, in keeping with a prophecy given to Isaiah, a baby is born named Emmanuel, God with us. Jehovah, the I Am, has now entered the human race and is going to be made accessible to that race without changing who he is. The God of heaven and the name given him is no less holy because he came here. This child grows into a man, begins the ministry given by his Father who dwells in him and permeates his being, the very seed of heaven intermingling with the seed of David. He chooses other men to learn from him and pass on his truth. One thing he teaches them is what we have called the Lord's Prayer. And there it is again. Hallowed be your name. That's straight from the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. The ongoing desire of Jehovah God to be honored by all, not just in the syllables coming out of the mouth gate, but by the entire life. It's the concept, not the letters, that we must see here. No one knows the exact Hebrew pronunciation intended, but we get a bit of the mystery when we hear God say simply, I am. And that's the end of it. He is. Period. Contemplate it. Deal with it. He is. That eternal substance has somehow become part of who we are forever in Christ. Now, the Watchtower New World Translation inserts 237 Jehovahs in the text of the New Testament, where it feels it belongs, based on quotes from the Old Testament. And that makes a little bit of sense. We understand a little of that, because it really should be that way in the Old Testament. And if somebody in the New Testament is quoting the Old Testament, then, yeah, we understand. Problem with this is no copy. In all of extant, no extant copy, extant, E-X-T-A-N-T, available out there. No copy of a New Testament agrees with the Jehovah Witness assumption. You won't see it anywhere. You will see that although these New World Translation anonymous translators felt that Jehovah is the proper translation for both Theos, which is God, and Kurios, which is Lord, they're not consistent in their thinking when it becomes clear in a text that Jehovah and Jesus are the same. Though Jehovah is now sprinkled throughout the New World Translation, it's the name of Jesus that grabs our attention as believers. Consider the many things that are done in the name of Jesus in your New Testament. Matthew 12:21, in his name the Gentiles will trust. That's from the servant prophecy of Isaiah. Luke 10:17, devils are subject to the name of Jesus. Luke 24:47, preaching is to be done after Jesus leaves in Jesus' name. John 1:12 and 2:23, we are commanded to believe on Jesus' name. John 14:13, we're told to pray in Jesus' name. John 14:26, the Father sends the Spirit in Jesus' name. John 20:31, life is in Jesus' name. Acts 2:38, we're to be baptized in Jesus' name and in the name of the Father and of the Spirit. Acts 3:6 and 16, the name of Jesus heals. Acts 4:12, no other name has been given among men whereby a man can be saved. Now, this is a serious statement and must be used to offset the emphasis on the name given to Moses. The apostles are making quite a claim here, being strict Jewish believers themselves. They didn't say Jehovah is the name. They said Jesus is the name. Acts 5:41, the apostles were happy to suffer in the name of Jesus. Acts 9:15, Paul is ordered to bear the name of Jesus before the Gentiles. Why is the holy name Yahweh not mentioned in this regard? Jesus himself meets Paul, introduces himself to the apostle. Where's the Father? In Jesus. Acts 9:29, they preached in the name of Jesus. Acts 16:18, a demon is cast out in the name of Jesus. Acts 19:13, Paul is ready to die for the name of Yahweh. No, the name of Jesus. Acts 19:17, the name of Jesus is magnified. Romans 10:9-13, follow the logic here. You confess Jesus as Lord. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you'll be saved. Saved through Jesus. The New World Translation has to agree with that. But whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's in Romans 10:13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. Now, the New World Translation changes this to Jehovah because it's a quote from the Old Testament. So now there's a problem. Jesus is Lord, and we are saved through him, but I must call on the name of Jehovah to be saved? Well, which is it? For us, this is not an issue, for we believe Jesus and Jehovah are the same, but this is anathema in witness thinking. So they have Jesus saving us and Jehovah separately saving us. This is how they've corrected the perverted scriptures to make them more understandable for us. 1 Corinthians 1:2, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul exhorts them in the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:4, Paul excommunicates in the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:11, we are washed, we are sanctified, we are justified in the name of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:20, Jesus has a name that is above every name. He's at the right hand of God. He has total authority. Ephesians 5:20, we give thanks in the name of Jesus. Philippians 2:9, he's been given a name that's above every name, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess lordship to glorify the Father. Problem for the witness here is that Jehovah said these very words about himself in Isaiah. 2 Thessalonians 1:12, the name of Jesus is glorified in the Thessalonian church. 2 Thessalonians 3:6, we must disassociate from some in the name of Jesus. Hebrews 1:4, Jesus has a better name than all the angels. Hence, he is not an angel himself. 1 Peter 4:14, we are reproached for the name of Jesus. 1 John 3:23 and 5:13, believe in the name of Jesus. And in Revelation, here is Jesus speaking to the seven churches. 2:13, he says, you hold fast my name. 3:8, he says, you have not denied my name. Revelation 13:6, this passage is about blaspheming the name of God. But he who does it, we call not anti-Jehovah, but anti-Christ. Revelation 14:1, believers will have Jesus' name and the name of the Father in their foreheads. Revelation 19:13, the name of Jesus is the Word of God, which takes us right back to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what does all this mean? I hope you'll stay with me a few extra minutes today. We're almost done. Has Jehovah taken a break? Has Jehovah changed his name? Has Jehovah decided his name is not all that important any longer and that now the name of Jesus supersedes his own name? None of the above. The fullness of the Godhead, Colossians 2:9, lives in Jesus in bodily form. That's what it says. Wherever the name of Jesus is lifted up, the name of Jehovah is equally lifted up. The name of Jesus has been given to us in the same way that the person of Jesus has been given to us. Now we see God, the I Am, Jehovah, in human form. Now we can be saved. The Savior is Jesus. That's why that name is most important to us. But look on the forehead of every true believer, inside the brain and the heart and the soul, and you will see side by side the name of Jesus and the name of his Father. The Father and the Son are one. That's what Jesus said. To know one is to know the other. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. The mystery is great, but it's not helped by humanly reasoning it away. There are not two gods. There is one God. His name is Jehovah. His name is Jesus. 1 + 1 = 1 in God's mathematics. John 17 gives us another fascinating insight into the name. Jesus, in that magnificent prayer, declares to his Father that he has manifested the Father's name to the disciples, that he has kept them in that name and declared that name. So we ask, when, Jesus? Where is this? When did you do this? Surely you'd want your modern-day disciples to know the same revelation. Where did you teach them about YHWH, Yahweh? Well, there was that time with the Pharisees when Jesus called himself the I Am and almost got stoned for it. But the text here seems to be calling for more. If name means more than just appellation or tag or label, and it does, then we begin to understand. What if name means authority, character, renown, report, as Strong's Concordance simply tells us? Didn't Jesus say that he came to show us the Father He that saw Jesus saw the Father. Jesus manifested God to his disciples. On the Mount of Transfiguration, in the miracles, in the teachings, everything there is to know about Yahweh that we need to know, the one true God, was made clear to them. And so Jehovah gives to his Son the authority from that day to this to use his own name, Jesus, knowing that all that is included in that name is also descriptive of the Father. In a way we can't understand. Jehovah God is Jesus Christ. The connection is real. Whether you see the name Jehovah in the New Testament, which you should not see since no Greek text has that, or the name of Jesus, you're seeing the name of God and God's pleased with it. Amen? I say amen. We have a few more sessions with this book. We're going to some other false things next time in this series, false promises. Well, that was a false premise. Now we're talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses' 100% false track record in predictive prophecy. They just can't cut it with that. Check in from time to time to see what's going on here at the Hackberry House of Chosen website of sermonaudio.com. God willing, I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.